All right, guys, welcome back to the Shakedown Shan show. We have a special guest today. We've had him on once before, and I have been on his show. We have Eric from the Rebel with a Cause podcast here. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing okay. How about yourself?
Very good. So you recently moved to Texas, is that right?
Yep, I recently moved to Dallas, Texas, about the middle of October, so I've been here almost a month.
How do you like it?
So far, so good.
Awesome. Is it different change of scenery? Is it warmer? What is it like compared to Louisiana?
Yeah, Dallas is a little bit further north than where I was at in southern Louisiana, so it got a little bit colder sooner than it did back home. Colder. So, a little bit bigger city, so I get to look at a lot of buildings instead of trees.
It's a bummer we didn't get to visit you down in Louisiana before you left.
Yeah, you could have gone to Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I've done the Mardi Gras thing a whole bunch. I've kind of got that out of my system. So,
let's see here. So I had a few things that I wanted to get your opinion on. First of all, the whole Epstein thing. I know there's a lot of memes going around and stuff, but they just had the autopsy come out that he died of strangulation. I was wondering if you had any conspiracy theories or something like that. I was trying to go over some this morning.
Yeah, the whole Epstein thing, it's been kind of interesting to watch because as soon as it was announced that he committed suicide in the jail, it pretty much turned everybody in the country into Alex Jones overnight. So I don't think anybody actually believed that he had killed himself.
No.
And then when they assigned this medical examiner to it, who's kind of got a little bit of a shady past himself, they're all kind of like, oh, well, here's the government. They're going to come out and say, yeah, of course you can strangle yourself, you know, when there's no cameras operating, and it doesn't matter that there was witness testimony that he was screaming and hollering moments before his body was found. So at this point now it's become a meme that Epstein didn't kill himself, even so much that they were interviewing some military guy about the military trained German shepherds, and the last thing he said on his little news interview was that Epstein didn't kill himself. So it's now hit the zeitgeist that we all kind of understand that, this guy obviously was murdered because of what he knows, mm-hmm. who he knows about, and everything else. So it's been kind of fun to watch.
We just watched that clip this morning, actually. Have you seen it, Rick?
No, I haven't.
It was a Fox News. It was Fox News, right?
Probably.
Fox News interview with a military guy talking about German shepherds.
Oh.
And actually, on TV, at the end of his little segment, he said, oh, and Epstein didn't kill himself. So I was like, is that real? Did that actually air? It did, yeah.
Well, I think that's the story so far in my life that was the dumbest thing you could say, that everybody laughed at when they said it. You know, I mean, yesterday I heard you don't take a prisoner that was in the cell with him out, moved him out. The guards, supposedly both of them, fell asleep at the same time.
Right. Like,
and the camera to the hallway didn't work. So,
like, are you kidding me? I said that a better way for them to have done this was to, like, have an overdose death, like, say that this, like, some kind of drug snuck through into the prison and he overdosed on it. That would have been so much smarter.
Yeah.
Well,
you didn't expect him to go to trial. That's one thing.
Hillary Clinton should hire me for her hitman.
Yeah.
I have a business proposition. Speaking of Hillary Clinton going after people, have you guys seen how she's been going after Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah, I especially like how catty she was when she really wasn't coming out and saying who she was talking about being a Russian asset, being Tulsi Gabbard. But we all kind of knew that's who she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, it's kind of the rantings and ravings of a crazy cat lady. And no offense to crazy cat ladies out there. But yeah, you just can't say everyone that I don't like or disagree with is a Russian asset. You know, that's and as far as like a third party run, I really don't know if Tulsi's going to actually do that. But just because Hillary Clinton came out and said that she's a Russian asset, her poll numbers actually went up a little bit. So it's having a little bit of a Streisand effect, which I'm deeply enjoying.
But you know, the sad thing about it is she's not a socialist Democrat, but she's almost there to a point. But she does have,
Tulsi. She's got a lot of like social views.
Right, but she does have a lot of sane views too that are like a moderate. But she's not going to run again for Congress.
No.
Yeah, no. She made an announcement, which in a way is too bad because I think she could temper the party a little bit.
Mm-hmm. She's been going really hard on the anti-war stuff right now, which I've been saying is like if she wants to do something, she needs to like zone in on that one area where she's really, really strong, and she's finally doing that. And I think she's kind of brave to be like publicly going after Hillary Clinton the way that she is. Because she might be the next Epstein. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, she also gave President Trump a little credit for doing what he said. I mean, when he came into office, he said he was going to pull back and eliminate some of the wars we were in over there, and he did it. And then the Democrats started complaining because he was pulling out troops, which they were always for anyway. So she's really a stand-up person. You know, she gives credit to who deserves it.
Yeah, she's definitely not afraid to speak out. She was actually, Eric, I don't know if you saw this, she was on, I forgot what show she was on, but she was demanding that the secrecy of 9/11 be brought to the light. And it's just, these things don't get, like, publicly televised like they should. They're always on like alternative media and everything. So I think it's really great to have somebody out there on public television asking these questions and bringing up good points that you normally wouldn't hear on mainstream media, so people can actually start thinking about these things.
So just to put in while Shan's getting her notes there. What have you been up to, Eric? I mean, have you been doing some things that we should know about? Legal things.
Legal things?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything I do, you know, is above board.
I
know. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No, it's a... just here, just moving up here, getting a new job and everything. So I've been busy with that. I recently just did an interview with a guy who owns an e-liquid manufacturer for vaporizers. The government and media fear-mongering over vapes and everything has kind of hurt his business. So that episode will actually be dropping next week.
Interesting.
But, yeah, so other than that, I've just been kind of keeping tabs on what's going on in the news and just trying to come, you know, to some kind of truth to it, because it really doesn't matter if it's Fox News or CNN or MSNBC. They all get some part of it right, so you just kind of got to read between the lines of actually what's true, and which I shouldn't really have to do. They should answer the five questions in every one of their stories, but they always seem to throw some kind of bent to it.
On the topic of personal rights or free choice, what do you think of the Congress's proposed bill to eliminate menthol cigarettes? Did you read that?
I think I've heard something about that. It's just kind of going along the lines of the flavored vapes and everything. You know, menthol is a minty flavored cigarette. As far as I'm concerned, the market should be dictating of what a cigarette manufacturer makes or doesn't make. So mm-hmm. if a cigarette manufacturer is finding that the menthol cigarettes aren't selling as well as like the regular flavor, then they can adjust accordingly. But far too many times the government gets involved in things because, you know, it's got to put the interest of the people ahead. And unfortunately, that's not a correct market signal. So, yeah, if you're going to try and ban watermelon-flavored vape juice and mentholated cigarettes, it's going to end up backfiring completely. Because mm-hmm. then you're going to get into this thing of, you know, what is advertising to kids? And it's just going to be a mess. You know, the market can handle this type of stuff far harsher than any kind of judge, jury, or executioner.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, even in the case of cigarettes, I recently saw this picture of an Army post exchange, and they've got all these cartons of cigarettes up there, menthol included, but they have a little sign that says, we removed vape juice until the CDC can ascertain its safety. And it was like, okay, well, there's definitely one product that is all around this shelf that has known to cause cancer thousands of times every year.
Right.
And that's all the cigarettes that you're selling. So you can't say that it's customer safety.
No.
You know, it for at this point where we know of, it's like less than 10 people. And it was like all black market, just kind of like do-it-yourself vape juice that people used the wrong kind of ingredients for that started causing these lung issues.
Well, you know,
I mean,
probably the cigarette have great lobbyists. I mean, they're paid a lot of money, and probably the vaping industry hasn't been around that long to get their lobbyists lined up. Otherwise, if the politicians were getting their pockets lined, they wouldn't pass so many restrictions.
Yeah, no, it's because the vaping is hurting the cigarette industry. And so they're going to the government.
Yeah, well, that's the lobbying, I think, is the, you know, they just don't have as much money as the cigarette companies have had. And, you know, they've been around for how many years? So I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, between the cigarette companies and then the customers not leaving it up to consumers deciding what advertising to children is and all that stuff that you have consumers also going to the government telling them they need to stop advertising to children. Whereas if it was the market deciding, people would get fed up with a company that they thought was advertising to children too much and stop buying from them and eventually lose so much business that, oh, maybe we should change our advertising. But nobody likes to wait around for those things to happen. It's instant gratification that we seek, which they go to the government for, which is never instant to begin with. So it's like a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, and RJR and Philip Morris, they can afford lobbyists, and they can afford to adhere to whatever regulations that the government's going to lay down. You know, the small-time manufacturers of vaping liquids, like I was talking with Joel in my last interview, you know, he says, you know, they got one lab that they go to, but that particular lab will create for several different shops.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, they're kind of farming out the lab technicians and all their equipment to come up with their own flavors. And then when they do get it, you know, the FDA requires them to put these huge labels that warn that nicotine is an addictive chemical and this product contains nicotine, and they can't, you know, they can't show pictures of people. They can't show pictures of food. So if your vape flavor is supposed to be watermelon, you can't put a picture of a watermelon on the thing, which would be easily identifiable by anyone coming in to buy.
Right.
Instead, you have to have it in, you know, plain text watermelon. Yeah. So just kind of the government has kind of inserted itself a little bit too much into this industry. And as far as, you know, the vapes are concerned, you know, is it safer than cigarettes? You know, we're going to have to find that out.
Right,
at this point, it's been around since, you know, 2008, 2009. And if you can only come up with 6 cases where someone has died from vaping, you know, even though it's like black market kind of the side things that people were doing themselves, and it wasn't like from any professional manufacturer, you're going to make a hard case for that. But I think what the bottom line was is that the vapes were taking over the industry of people trying to quit smoking cigarettes. And now we're seeing this thing where the government and the media have gotten together to scare people into saying that, oh, well, the vapes are going to cause you to have lung problems and you're going to die. So now you got people going back to smoking cigarettes because they think it in some kind of weird, twisted way that it's safer. You know, and this is crazy.
Well, it'll certainly hurt the Indian reservations up here, who sell cigarettes at a really cheap price, and they also sell tobacco by the bag, different size bags at different prices if you want to roll your own cigarettes, which that tobacco is nothing more than cut hay, because I'll tell you, it would kill a 500-pound man if you smoked a pack of cigarettes in 2 days. That stuff is so bad. But you know what? Here again, it's a personal choice. I mean, if you know that cigarettes cause cancer, mm-hmm. and you want to take a chance and smoke, well, that's on you. I mean, there shouldn't be anybody telling you that you can or can't do it. So, you know.
This all goes back to self-ownership. I mean, if I own myself, then I own the consequences of me doing whatever to it. You know, drinking liquid Drano is a terrible, awful idea. You don't need to make it illegal. It's stupid. Yeah, don't do it. And the same goes for smoking cigarettes. We've known for a long time that because of the processes and everything that they do to the tobacco to make cigarettes, it's very harmful for you. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, but it's also found in potatoes and tomatoes. So are they going to have to make potatoes and tomatoes illegal and have like a little sticker that goes across 2/3 of it to say that it contains nicotine and it's addictive?
Yeah, that's why I eat so many potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason why you can't eat just one potato chip.
So. That's right.
Oh, man. I never knew that. Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So kind of... we're on the topic of personal choice, so I wanted to backtrack just a little bit to bring in Tulsi's views of the war on drugs, since we're kind of talking about drugs and regulations, and how she wants to stop the war on drugs for, like, softer drugs, but not, like, anything like heroin and stuff like that. I don't know if you've heard much about this, but I remember I brought up Tulsi to you as a possible topic last night, and you said, oh, God, or something like that. So I was just wondering what your opinions were on her so far.
I can congratulate her for being sort of anti-war. I mean, she still wants to have war on terrorists in some countries. She's definitely seen enough of the horror from Iraq and Afghanistan, and she kind of knows that it's... at this point, silly to keep it up. We all kind of know that it's going to create a vacuum theory is kind of bust. Because even if it does create a vacuum, the terrible people that are in charge are just going to be more in charge, I guess. But as far as the war on drugs, with so many states making recreational and medicinal cannabis legal, she's kind of taking a little bit of a moderate approach to it. No one, I don't think, is going to be as hardcore on it like the country of Portugal, who decriminalized all drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found there was that, yes, cannabis usage went up, but all of the rest of the hard drugs, fell to the wayside. You know, if you wanted to get cocaine or heroin in Portugal, you could do it in the privacy of your own home. But... at the same time, they're seeing less instances of that. Now, yes, you walk around in Portugal, people are going to be lighting up on the street. But, I mean, that's kind of what they wanted in the first place. And because they couldn't get the marijuana, they had to start moving a little bit towards the street drugs and everything. So if anyone wants a good case of usage of what decriminalization of all drugs looks like, go read the stats for the country of Portugal. And which is what I would want to see. But if we're going to take this first step of at least getting the weed legal first, it would go a long way. And I can congratulate her for that at least.
Mm-hmm.
Where I still kind of down her on is a lot of her, personal economic choices. Mm-hmm. That is a little more socialist for my liking. She's very anti-gun. She still has a lot of baggage that. I couldn't, support her 100%, but I mean, if she's at least getting the conversation started, I can give her a pat on the back for that.
Yes. Yeah. That's how I feel too. I don't agree with, pretty much anything else she stands for other than her anti-war and, her soft take on the war on drugs, but she is, like you also said, bringing up a lot of important conversations that need to be talked about that don't get talked about. Speaking of the election, I am having a hard time finding like libertarian candidates. I don't think there are any that I'm aware of. I could be wrong. Have you heard of
it? Yeah, you are. There's quite a few, actually.
Because I don't see any coverage of them.
Yeah, you're probably not going to see any coverage of any libertarian candidates on the mainstream media until, you know, just it's getting pretty close to the election. So right now, you'd probably have to check within your libertarian circles. Right now, there's a few candidates running. There's Kim Ruff, who is running. Dan Behrman, who wears the big yellow hat that says taxation is theft on it. I think there's an effort to recruit Jacob Hornberger into running for president. And there's a few other candidates. I think the names are escaping me now. But Adam Kokesh, who always runs for not president. I think those are the major ones that are going right now. We'll probably see towards Libertarian Convention in May. There might be a few more. There was talks of trying to recruit Justin Amash to run, but I don't know if he's going to pick that up or not. Yeah. So right now, pretty much Kim Ruff has got my support. She's a personal friend of mine. I know she's solid on the principles and everything. But the other candidates are just as good. So I think it'll be a tight race in May when we see it, but I don't think we're going to see any kind of mainstream coverage until at least, you know, September or October, depending on who they choose. So
I haven't even really seen much within like my libertarian circles, like on Facebook or anything. I don't know if like I'm just not getting it in my news feed because I get too many notifications to go through them all. But I just scrolling through my newsfeed, I don't see anything about it. But I did. I have heard about Justin Amash. I knew about him. Let's see. I think we also wanted to cover more about the impeachment stuff because that's been in the news lately too. What is your take on it?
Oh boy, well, this is the part where I'm probably going to make some people angry, but that's fine.
Do it.
So their whole thing of let's impeach Donald Trump because we don't like him is kind of missing the point. You can not like a president. A lot of people didn't like Obama. Obama did a lot of stuff that he should have been impeached for, just like Donald Trump. If you're going to levy any kind of charges that would raise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors, aiding the Saudis in a genocide in Yemen would put it right there. Mm-hmm. The Democrats aren't going to touch that because Obama started that war. So the Republicans aren't going to do it because most of them are Saudi lapdogs anyway. So now we're getting into this thing of, well, he called the Ukraine to try and get dirt on a political rival. I guess you can make that point. He was trying to figure out why Joe Biden's son was sitting on the board of an energy company in the Ukraine making tens of thousands of dollars per month for having no real experience in the energy industry. It just seemed like he was getting a payoff. So, I guess you could say, you know, there was some quid pro quo there, but, the thing that you should be focusing on is a war crime in Yemen by helping the Saudis bomb kids and utilities and everything that's causing a cholera outbreak. So, you could impeach him for a pretty specific crime that he did commit. Democrats don't want to touch it because Obama started it. The Republicans don't want to touch it because it would hurt the Saudis. And so here I'm standing in the middle. It's like, hey, guys, you know, there is actual crime taking place. This little phone call to the Ukraine that you don't have an exact transcript. You have the memory of an agent who heard it.
Right.
Which is suspect to begin with.
But you don't even have the agent who heard it because the fellow that the whistleblower got it second hand or third hand. And I mean, I honestly don't believe that what he did was that there was anything wrong with that. I mean, they've said that presidents in the past have used leverage to hold back funds for information. Now, I think, you know, what they're saying about what Trump did was, I mean, he was trying to find out corruption and to see if Biden, and Biden even admitted he held back how much, $8 million worth of planes, unless they fired the investigator that was investigating his son. And he even said, I'll give you 6 hours to do it, then I'm going home. And they did it, so they released their $8 million in planes. I mean, it's now what did they have to do with the elections? I mean, it's you know, this whole thing is so convoluted that like you said, the bombing of Yemen, I mean, if you look back, every president has probably done something or been in with a, quote, ally in destroying another sect of their country. So do you go back? Do you retro go back and impeach all of them and remove them for office and then do away with all their benefits and take them down as a president? And, it's just ridiculous.
I think most presidents have probably have bribed other people for dirt on opponents. I mean, what president wouldn't, honestly? What if there's dirt to get to use in your campaign to win and you're seeking that type of power, why wouldn't you?
Right.
The type of people that are running for president typically aren't the most moral. I mean...
Well, that's because you come up the line. You might be mayor of your city, and then you're a supervisor, and then you're a congressperson. So you get more corrupt every step up you take.
Right. But
the time you're running for president, man.
Is this like the worst thing we could be worrying about? There's a lot more worse things we could be worrying about. I just don't feel like this is the biggest story. I don't feel like it deserves impeachment over.
Sadly, we're not getting anything done in our country. Don't you agree?
No, I feel like they've used this presidency, like they've just been trying to, you know, it's like a kid that doesn't want to go to bed. They just keep stalling. Installing, oh, can I have another cookie? Oh, three more hugs. Oh my God, the light is on in the living room. Let me turn the light off and blah, blah, blah. Can I tell you about school? School was really good today. They're just stalling until the next election, hoping that he doesn't get reelected.
Now, what's your thought on that?
as far as I'm concerned, if the government is not getting anything done, then that's a big win. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, still thousands of pieces of legislation go through every year. So you can't say that, oh, Democrats are blocking this and Republicans are blocking that. I mean, they definitely work hand in hand to keep more things going through. Mm-hmm. So, you also have a complicit media that isn't going to highlight or show any kind of light to the stuff that this does get passed. They want to choose these little wedge issues that's going to try and keep people from working together. And so right now we just have this impeachment craze because the Russian collusion thing didn't work. So now they got to try something else. And all this because they don't like the guy, which is not, you know, any kind of reason to remove someone from office. You know, you can just say, oh, I don't like that guy. He says mean things.
I'm not going to vote for him again.
You kind of have to give it to the media for 3 years of... that they wasted of our time. They kept it going somehow, the whole Russian collusion story. If he gets reelected, I wonder what kind of crazy thing they're going to come up with next.
To tell you the truth, if he gets reelected, I don't think they can come up with anything crazy because at that point, he's not going to be able to run again. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is going to be, or not the problem, I mean, is going to be the congressional and Senate races, I think, are going to be more important than who's president. Don't you agree?
Yeah, there'll be a big push to get the even things down all the way to the state level, because they're the left is starting to realize that oh well, we can get a whole bunch done on the state level, so let's start focusing in on those races as well. But if the economy does take a downturn, that will all go onto Donald Trump's shoulders, and it'll be just like Herbert Hoover all over again. Mm-hmm. They'll just say, oh well, you know, he had this protectionist idea, and now the economy's in the tank. So now we got to get somebody new in there who's going to bring us all kinds of little goodies. And so, to me, this next election is looking like the Hoover FDR election.
So, but you know,
interesting comparison.
Yeah, Herbert Hoover was no laissez-faire capitalist. I mean, he was very much interventionist all the way, if you look at all of his policies and everything. So it's not how the history books have written him, though. But, yeah, if the economy takes a downturn, that's what the Democrats are going to use to say, see, capitalism doesn't work. We've got to do this socialism stuff.
But so, the thing is, I'm going to just disagree with you a little bit, only because of what Trump did when he got in office, how he turned the economy around, the more jobs he created. And if the Democrats in this next year are working towards getting rid of his policies, I think that can be blamed on them, because we've seen in 3 years how good things have gotten. So I think there's a disadvantage for the Democrats to try and tank the economy. I mean, Elizabeth Warren, who looks like she's going to be the front runner, is saying, you know, this healthcare for all is going to cost.
Do you really think she'll?
I don't know. There's,
I don't know.
All the other favorites are starting to drain down. Kamala Harris, and unless somebody from the outside comes in, but she said, you know, no tax cuts for middle class on her, what is it, $50 billion or $1 trillion that we're going to lose 2 million jobs. Well, right off the bat, I mean,
I don't think she could beat Trump, though.
I don't think she can either.
I don't think
any of them can.
I honestly don't think anybody up here stands a chance against him.
Nope.
I really don't. I don't think I've seen one person that I would, like, bet that they would win against him.
I think there's only one person, and Eric, I want you to see if this is rings a bell with you. There's only one person that can, and I can't stand her, but that would be Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah.
If Michelle Obama ran,
she would be president,
Because people would just say, oh, my gosh, the second coming of Barack.
First of all, it would be the first woman president. Not only would it be the first woman president, it would be the first woman of color president. It would be not only historical, but I mean, people love the Obama era for some reason. And she would, honestly, I don't know why she didn't run it.
Well, they asked her to, and she said, absolutely not. But you can't take absolutely not right now as I'm not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
But I think if it's a choice between...
If she ran against Trump, she would have won.
I think if it's between Obama and Warren, I would rather have Obama in there myself. Don't you think?
The bookies in Las Vegas, I think there's one for Michelle to enter next year. And there's also another interesting pick would be Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard that she's
to run as well, which would also be a problem for Donald.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but that, I mean, if Oprah got in, I think that would chase more men away to vote for Trump, more Democrat men, because just of who she is. I mean, she has no, I mean, I don't know. She had a talk show and she referenced books. But I think if Michelle gets in, I mean, she's got pretty much a track record for being first lady. She knows her way around Washington. A Democratic men and women would probably vote for her, where Oprah may have a little problem keeping the men in line. I think women would vote for her, no problem. But
That's really scary to think.
Well, it is scary. But I mean, who else have you got in that field? Who else? You got all wackos in there. I mean, they haven't got one credible candidate. So I think it sets itself up for somebody on the outside now to come in and say, I'm running.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're waiting.
I don't know.
There was something that I had on my head that I wanted to ask. Let's see, we're talking about the Obamas running. I can't think of it now. That was an interesting plot twist.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens only because of what the Democrats are doing now. I mean, I think they made a mistake by not opening these hearings in the first place and keeping them secret. That just makes them look foolish. And I just don't understand the scheme of it. Do you think they should have been open?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Democrats are concerned, to me, to have 15 people on a debate stage is a bit much. And I didn't watch the debates because I wasn't going to, you know, get an aneurysm from it. But I did go back and watch some clips. But you can definitely tell anytime Elizabeth Warren was up on the screen, they tended to focus in on her a little bit more. I would even dare say they were using softer filters before to make her look a little bit more like a kindly grandma and everything.
Oh God!
So I think Elizabeth Warren is like the media's pick. Joe Biden is right out because you know, with the whole you know, creeping up on little kids and.
Well, did you hear about? I read in the paper today that he was giving a speech the other day and he forgot where he was. He couldn't remember where he was.
And he's definitely showing his age, you know, starting to talk about, you know, things that had happened to him in the past and you know, just like that, forgetting where he was at, or just the, you know, even forgetting out the texting number to support his campaign and everything. That's I don't think anyone's going to come to his rescue. I think Bernie this time is also in the same boat because he just had a heart attack and everything, even though he looked a little bit better when he came back. But, you know, again, it's the old white man problem.
Yeah. I think 4 years ago was Bernie shot and that was it.
I remember what I was going to ask you now. We were talking about, state level politics, and since you just moved to Texas, I know there's a really, really big scare of Texas going blue because of all of the people fleeing California. I was wondering if you had any concerns about that, or maybe, I don't know if you've had time to get into state politics of Texas yet, but I was just wondering if you had any opinions on that.
Yeah, as far as the state politics of Texas, people have been fleeing California to move to Austin for a while. And even in the big cities, they're going to be a little bit more blue than everywhere else in Texas. But Austin is probably going to be the one that'll be the bluest out of all of them. Everywhere else, it's a little bit more purple. Because even the Democrats that do move, you know, they're a little bit more, you know, they want to take care of poor people and everything, and so they'll vote to take money from others, but they'll, you know, maintain the property rights a little bit. But in Austin, I mean, it's, you know, there's a reason why they say keep Austin weird, and that's definitely one of them. You know, it's they move out of California, they've been moving to Austin, you know, since pretty much the 1980s. So Austin will probably be the big enclave there, and that also happens to be the Texas capital. So it'll be interesting to watch. I haven't really gotten too much into it yet, but I'll be definitely keeping an eye out.
You know, I read a report a couple of years ago that most of the people fleeing California and Oregon are mostly Republicans or independents because they can't stand putting up with the liberal policies of those two states. And I was just wondering if you think that That's who are moving to Arizona and Texas. I know the liberals are moving into Austin, but there's always, it always seems like there's pockets, like in New York City, you could be Republican and get elected. I mean, we've had Republican mayors before, from New York City, and senators, but you can forget that now. I mean, over half of the population in New York State lives in New York City and the boroughs, so there'll never be a non-Democrat in power here. But so Austin may be, you know, mainly liberal city, but do you think that, and, I mean, Texas is so big, that's the thing, that California, they're giving up their moderate and Republican people that are moving out. So that should help some of the blue states, don't you think?
Yeah. Like I said, when you see them move out, you know, if they're going to be around any of the other major cities, it'll be a little bit more purple than blue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they'll have some sensibilities of, you know, maintaining gun rights and everything, because they, California is very restrictive on gun laws. But in Texas, they know, hey, you know, we can at least have our guns around here, and nobody's going to try and take them from us or legislate away like all the different little features and everything for them. But yeah, Austin will definitely be deep blue for a long time. But I think the ones who are pessimistic enough to say, yeah, taxes are too high in California, let's go move to Arizona or Texas or somewhere else. And with New York, I mean, they basically, a lot of them moved to Florida, where they're, you know, and then they just continue, on the path of, keeping taxes low in Florida, to the point where the Florida has no state income tax.
Right.
So,
well, up here in our part of the state, it has been, you know, in the Capital District and North, it had been, highly Republican. I mean, Republican ran this part of the state with an iron fist. And for the first time in history of Saratoga Springs, which has a long history, the Democrats, there's more registered Democrats now than there are Republicans, by about 2,000 or 3,000. And part of the reason why is because they're moving up here. The people from down, you know, when they retire down in New York or Long Island, I mean, it's so expensive down there that they're moving up to Saratoga Springs and in the Capital District. So we're getting it now where they're taking over. So
I think,
yeah, they got out when the prices, you know, the cost of living is near draconian in New York City and everything. So now they're just trying to move up to upstate New York, I guess, to get away from the high land prices and rent and everything.
Well, state's pretty expensive.
Yeah, that'd definitely
too.
Be something to look out for.
Yeah, but what they're doing, I mean, it's just like Shan just said, they're bringing that up here too. I mean, you know, homes that used to go for
250
are now going for 600,000. My daughter's graduated from college, they can't, they were born and brought up here, they can't afford to live here and not even rent an apartment.
No, Saratoga rent's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't, you know, even rent an apartment here.
I think the main concern about like Texas going blue or whatever, everyone moving there from California is if Texas goes blue enough, it has a big impact on presidential elections. And I think that was the main concern people were stating when they were talking about Texas going blue. So I don't know, because California is a big state. Texas has a big impact. New York has a big impact. You get all these states with big impacts. If they all turn blue, it can really, really change how the elections play out. Not this year, but like in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was on my head.
but on the other hand, and we'll see if Eric thinks that too, based on that premise, if you get more people moving to a state turning it blue, then the states they left may be going more red because the Democrats and liberals are moving out of the state, and it's being more populated now by people who aren't Democrats or liberals. I don't know.
Let's all just move to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps trying to get me there. It's too cold. Too cold. Yeah, I think that's all that I had for today, really. What?
Nope, just...
Oh, sorry. I'm, like, talking into space.
That's...
Yeah, I think that's all that I really had for today. Yeah, thank you for coming on the show, Eric. I know it was really last minute. I texted him at, like, 10:30 last night. I'm like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow?
Well, you know what'll be interesting, Eric, is if in a couple months we could talk to you to get more input on Texas.
Yeah, I definitely love coming on and everything. I'll have to keep my ears to the ground around here, up here in Dallas, because I think it's a good barometer for what could be going on in some of the other major cities. I visited Austin while I was looking for work and everything, and yeah, that city is very blue, just from the fact that there was a concentrated effort to try and get Beto O'Rourke to unseat Ted Cruz, and he almost did it. So definitely have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah. How about Houston?
Houston is an oil city that I don't see that. Downtown Houston is probably going to be a little bit more blue than where everyone lives in Houston is outside the city.
Good.
I think that'll probably stay red for a little while at least.
Good. Well, it was great having you on.
Yeah,
even though Shannon let me know at 10 o'clock. No, at 10:15.
I let Rick know like right before the show. I was like, hey, we can get Eric on, right?
That's okay.
So we had to mess around with Skype. But yeah, no, I appreciate it a lot. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Ah, thanks. You too. I'm going to go finish my laundry now. So.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Bye.
All right. And so until next week, or if not next week, when we get back together, have a great weekend, guys. Thank you.